Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Thought we were going to do an ad read here.
Man, I tell you what, one of the best decisions we ever made as a family was to get not only a camper, but also to get a pontoon boat. Man, it's just so incredible. You know, with a camper, every weekend you can have a different backyard. You could be camped out on some lake, camped out on some river. Heck, you could be camped out on somebody's ranch for that matter. And of course, with the pontoon, man, I just love getting out on the water. What a way to really enjoy the great Montana outdoors. And I did it all through our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. Brett's RV and Marine, they've been helping families go camping and boating since 1967. Plus, they've got the largest inventory in 5 states. They're Montana family owned. They've got great locations in Billings, Butte, and Missoula. You can check out some of their inventory. Go to brettsrv.com. Again, that's brettsrv.com. Or just drop in and say hello to our friends at the Billings, Butte, or Missoula locations. Brettsrv.com.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got Senator Barry Usher in the house as well, taking phone calls, taking your messages. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Senator Usher. Thanks for being in studio today. You know, I want to steer the conversation back to the property tax issue, and specifically the property assessment division of the Department of Revenue. You know, you had a caller last hour that touched on the fact that you're being taxed on unrealized gains, and that is certainly an aggravating factor. They have to value it somehow, though. But Nancy from Roundup really touched on what I want to talk about this morning, is that the methodology that they use to assess these properties, she's got a crumbling foundation underneath a cabin, and all of a sudden it's worth $100,000. Well, there's a reason for that, and here it is. The state uses what they call a computer-assisted mass appraisal system. So a machine is deciding what it lumps everything together like some kind of a socialist to each just generalizing values, and they will tell you that the AB 26 system for appealing your valuations is how you deal with that if you've got a cabin with a crumbling foundation or a house in a piece of 10 acres properties in a burn zone like I do that aren't going to be worth what the place up the road with trees and flat ground. But, you know, I'm looking at the Montana Residential Valuation Manual from DOR, and it says right there the market value is a value at which property would change hands between willing buyers and sellers. Well, okay, I wish they would actually live up to that, but they don't. Because even with the AB 26 system, which will look you right in the eye and tell you that that's what this kind of situation is for, Nancy's, mine, everybody's, whose property is obscenely overvalued by this computer, is that you can go through the process, and I have, trust me, and
hey, Perry. We're up against the break. With that ad read and everything else, we're gonna have to get Senator Usher's response after this. Perry, hang on.
It's July 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Kitten Day, when those little feline balls of fur show off their cuteness and melt their way into our hearts. Videos of cats and kittens can be found by the millions on the web, and are a welcome distraction for so many of us during our day. However, the day is also meant to shine awareness on the responsibility of owning one of these little bundles of four-legged joy. So remember, if you're thinking of getting a kitten, make sure you have what it takes. Also on this date, in 1934, pitcher Carl Hubble of the New York Giants set a Major League Baseball All-Star Game record for consecutive strikeouts, punching out a murderer's row of would-be Hall of Famers like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Al Simmons, and Joe Cronin. If it's your birthday today, you share it with physicist, electrical engineer, and inventor Nikola Tesla, born in 1856. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
They're bona fide boot camps for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got Perry in Columbus on the line. We've got Senator Barry Usher in studio with us high above downtown Billings, broadcasting live to our audience worldwide. Senator Usher, Perry was talking about the DOR's appraisal process, the computer program. What's your take on that? And then maybe we'll see if Perry has any follow-ups on it.
Well, I agree with Perry. I mean, you know, for a computer to evaluate your house or all houses is it's unrealistic. I mean, it's not subjective. Just like Nancy said, you know, her house is crumbling. Obviously, it sounded like she can't afford or doesn't have the funds to be able to fix it at this time. But it's valued the same as the house down the street that's in perfect condition. It's valued the same, and so she's paying the same amount of property tax. And is that fair? Because, you know, the value of her house, she could not sell it for what it's valued for. So I think that is unfair, and, you know, unfortunately, that's the way their computer system does it.
Yeah, Perry, you sort of made a comment, too, that something along the lines of the appeal process wasn't satisfactory. Did you have anything else to add, Perry?
Yes, I do. Just real quick, I'll finish. You know, the thing is the appeals process, if you're the only handful of people in a county or a region who actually appeal it, they kick you in the gut, laugh in your face, and sweep you under the rug because they don't have to do anything else. They laugh. This manual has language about equity. Woke language in it, and they say, well, we are required by law to value everything the same. Well, listen, the problem is it's not the same. And the only way for people who are being, I'll just say it, screwed by this process is if there was 2,000 people in Stillwater County that filed AB 26s and took it to the Tax Appeal Board instead of two, then I betcha you would get their attention. And Senator Usher, I would just ask you and your colleagues to have a look at that manual and get rid of the woke language and increase the ability at the authority of the department and mandate that they take more leeway, give more leeway to people with houses like Nancy's or houses like mine or a piece of property that's in a burn zone that isn't worth a ding dong darn, and yet it's valued at $56,000 for a burn zone lot with nothing on it. So it has to be attacked by either the taxpayers with a mass cold revolt or by the legislature, which revamps the manual and says, here's how you're going to do it. So I'll thank you for your time and thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you, Perry. Appreciate the phone call. Senator Usher, your response.
Well, thanks for calling in, Perry. I definitely will have a conversation with some other legislators about looking at that manual. And I agree with you. The best way to do it is actually get more than two people in a county to appeal. And if you get a coalition of people to go and appeal at the same time, it does make a difference because we listen. Some of us listen to two, But it takes 2,000 to get some of these other legislators to actually listen.
You know, I'm personally scared to ever appeal mine because I would assume they're going to actually take the appeal and actually then increase my assessed value.
Yeah, I would hope that they don't do that. But, I mean, Perry's got some great thoughts. I mean, you know, what about the flood? The floodplains, too. I mean, you know, there's some places in Roundup that are in the floodplains. And, you know, unfortunately, Muskusaw County and Roundup, which has been my district forever, you know, they get hit with everything. They get hit with fires. They get hit with floods. They get hit with hailstorms. I mean, if you want to talk about natural disasters, talk about Muskusaw County, and they get hit with everything. So definitely some things that I can think about, I can talk to other people about, and I appreciate your comments, Perry.
Yeah, you know, what you just said, Senator Usher, reminded me, there's a our Commissioner of Insurance, James Brown, just took some action on homeowners insurance policies and wildfire risk. We're going to have Commissioner James Brown on the show tomorrow. Folks are going to want to tune into that. John in Great Falls says, I'm right with you, David. We don't have a revenue issue. We have a spending problem. Our representatives spend too much of our money on frivolous things while our infrastructure crumbles. Virgil in Billings says, seniors use government services, fire, police, etc., like I do, so they should help pay for it like I do, with so many out-of-staters owning Montana property. How about doubling their property taxes to cut property taxes of the locals? So thank you for that message, Virgil in Billings. Appreciate that. So when I was in law school, we took these classes basically where, you know, there's states are not allowed to interfere with interstate commerce. And when states sort of like will implement like what Virgil's talking about, like if we were to pass a law that says, hey, if you're not from here, you have to pay twice in the taxes. I'm not sure if that is would pass equal protection or constitutional issues. Have you dealt with that issue or seen that issue come up? Or?
Well, the intent of the property tax bill is supposed to be for your primary home. You'll get a tax cut. And if it's a secondary home and you don't live in it the majority of the year, then your property tax is going to go up.
So that'll hit a lot of out-of-staters, but correct. That'll also hit some Montanans.
Correct. So that's what the intent is, to hit the out-of-staters, but the unintended consequences, which every law we pass has unintended consequences, it's going to hit Montanans. And so I understand the intent. I agree with the intent, but there's got to be a way we can word it and fix it to make sure that we're not hurting Montanans.
We've got a couple other important topics to ask Senator Usher about here. If you want to call in and ask a question, write a message, we'll get it to him as well. 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. You can find me online at LectureFan. Don't miss it.
Fox Sports Update.
Fly ball, right field, Moore back. He's on the track, he's at the wall. See ya! A home run for Judge. Number 34. And the Yankees lead 7-0. Moves to within one of Raleigh.
Back there and said, I'm only one behind you now. As he crossed home plate.
On the YES Network, Aaron Judge hit his 34th home run of the Yankees' 10-3 win over the Mariners. One inning after Judge got within one home run of Cal Raleigh for the Major League lead, Judge fell two behind again.
Cal, the deep drive.
Sports Northwest, Major League home run leader Cal Raleigh has one more homer before the All-Star break than Ken Griffey Jr. did for the Mariners back in 1998. The National League's home run leader also added to his total last night. Shohei Ohtani hit a leadoff blast for the Dodgers, but the NL West leaders lost their fifth game in a row, 3-1 to the Brewers. Milwaukee starting pitcher Jacob Mizorowski struck out 12. Ohtani leads the National League with 31 home runs. The Miami Marlins stretched their team record to 11 consecutive wins on the road. The Marlins sextupled the Reds Tuesday, 12-2, longest road win streak by any Major League team in 2 years since the Phillies won 13 in a row away from home. Wild ending at the Giants-Phillies game in San Francisco. Patrick Bailey became the first player in 9 years to end a game with a walk-off inside-the-park home run, a three-run homer that gave San Francisco a 4-3 win over Philadelphia. For more scores, stories, and features, go to foxsports.com. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We are live here on a Thursday talking to Senator Barry Usher, 406-294-0970, if you want to call in or send us a message on the apps. Senator Usher, one of the things we haven't had a chance to talk about yet is, I guess, the judicial reform efforts that happened in the 2025 session. And then I guess I'd also kind of like to hear any thoughts you have on are we going to have another effort at judicial reform in 2027? What happened in 2025 that they all ended up failing, even though the governor supported things like partisan races for the courts, things like that? Just give us a summary of your take on sort of what happened and then maybe what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, so for all of you listeners that don't know, the former Senate President Jason Ellsworth created a Judicial Reform and Oversight Committee, special committee during the interim. And I believe out of that, we got 27 bills. And I'm using approximate numbers because I don't have notes in front of me. 27 bills that most of them came out of the committee unanimous. And we had a wide spectrum of different senators, and we had some non-voting House members and some citizens on that special committee. We brought them in through the Senate and the House, but it seems that the Nasty Nine, including Senator Ellsworth, were killing those bills. And we kind of scratched our head and asked why, and they would not answer. They just kept voting no. The ones that they voted yes, they got their counterparts, some of the Dirty Dozen in the House, to kill some over there. And I think we ended up with about 20-25% of the bills actually made it. The number one bill, though, that the governor did support, the lieutenant governor supported, was partisan judge elections. My understanding is there was a deal made with the House Democrats and Representative Lou Jones that he would make sure that bill did not pass, and that was the number one deal with all of them over there. So I thought it was kind of interesting that the 12, the Dirty Dozen, and Lou made a deal with the House Democrats to kill that bill, even though it was one of the governor's priority bills. And there was many a times that we tried to resurrect it. We had several different bills that had a little different language. And I knew from talking directly with the minority leadership that bill was going to die. It didn't matter what happened. It was going to die because that's what the deal was. So back-end deals killed a lot of our judicial reform bills. I would say that I will and several other people will bring them back, try to bring them back. I know it's on the agenda for the Law and Justice Interim Committee to review all the bills that did not pass, the judicial reform bills. So keep your eyes and ears open because we're going to try and resurrect them and see if there's going to be a backdoor deal that session.
So something you said there caught my ear, which was some of these bills, the nasty nine in the Senate voted for it, only for it to then die in the House when the Dirty Dozen voted against it. To me, that sounds like gamesmanship by the nasty nine so they can go back to their districts and pretend to say that they supported those bills.
Absolutely. It was definitely gamesmanship. And that happens, you know, I will say that most of us, the 23 senators and other House members that have principled, we don't necessarily make backroom deals. But these deals were made. They want to make sure that some people keep their voting records clear. But their goal was to kill certain judicial reform bills. And again, I confirmed that through minority leadership to make sure that that deal was an actual done deal. And it was.
We've got one of our all-time great callers on the line, Stacy Zinn, calling in. Stacy, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic. You?
Doing well. Just, I mean, what a lovely day here in Billings, Montana. A little bit hot, but I'm pretty much used to it. But no, it's a beautiful day in Montana.
Yeah, we were just looking out at the Beartooths here, looking at the haze, and or trying to figure out if this is just morning haze or we got smoke in the air. What's going on?
No, cleanse my eyes. There's something in the air. But hey, I just wanted to circle back around on this Comey and the Brennan situation. And there's been a lot of chatter out there. There's a lot of media information talking about, you know, is this Trump getting revenge and stuff like that. And I say it's about darn time that this the DOJ starts looking at these type of leaders that have, I guess, blatantly misused their power while in office.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that story this morning. I mentioned it on the air this morning. As far as I know, the only story is that the FBI's got a criminal investigation going for Brennan and Comey for what they did with the Trump Russia collusion hoax.
Well, you look at Comey, what he's done over the years, and he's a very smooth operator. And we dealt with these type of individuals within the U.S. government. They get so to a level where they think that they're untouchable. But Comey in particular, I mean, he's an interesting study. If you watch how he maneuvered during the 2016 election with Clinton, and then you also see with the Russian collusion how he kind of throws something out there. But it's been very disturbing, the fact that no one has touched him. And I think it's time that DOJ does do a deep dive on his actions, or let's say his sporadic actions, and we'll get to the bottom of the corruption that has taken place in both the CIA and the FBI.
Well, I agree with that 100%, and we'll ask Senator Barry Usher what his take on it. Anything else to add, Stacey, before we let you go?
No, that is it. I just said, hey, who offered DOJ? I hope that they keep peeling back the onion and do what they need to do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Senator Usher, I guess what's your take on all that? I know it's not a state legislative issue, but I mean, it's been a big issue. So
it's huge, huge issue. And I think I agree with what Stacey said. It's about time that the DOJ does something, and I think they're going to get to the bottom of it. But, you know, I know you said Stacey calls in all the time. She's our newly elected vice president of the state GOP. For those that don't know, she's also retired. I think it's a special agent in charge of the entire state of Montana for the DEA. And we appreciate her.
Yep, 100% agree. Let's go to Francis in Big Fork. Another all-time great caller. Francis, thanks for calling in.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. I think we got to get these names out of these 12 and 9 a little bit more so we can get rid of them in the next election or whenever we can, because they're such traitors to the state. They're just communists. And they just believe, oh, this is great for us, and they're just led like a bunch of sheep to a slaughter.
Yeah, well said, and I agree with that wholeheartedly, by the way. I have personally read out the names of the Nasty Nine on this radio show numerous times. I don't know if Senator Usher, if you've got the names of the Dirty Dozen there and are willing to share them.
I do. I'm looking online right now, and it's Representative Eric Albus, John Fitzpatrick, George Nikolakopoulos, Brad Barker, Lou Jones, Linda Rexton, Dave Beatty, Valerie Moore, Courtney Sprunger, Sherry Esman, Melissa Nikolakopoulos, and Ken Walsh. And back on the Sherry Esman, she was the only Republican in the entire United States to vote against citizens only voting in our elections. That's quite the tag for Sherry. I guess she thinks she knows better than the 20 other states that have passed that.
Yeah, pretty much all of those names rang a bell for me in terms of they did something I didn't approve of. For example, Representative David Beatty, you know, he's all in favor of pronouns and using people's pronouns and things like that. So, I mean, I'm not surprised he's on that list.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's the right-hand man to Representative Lou Jones. And as everybody's seen online, and there's some TV ads and voicemails going around about Lou Jones and his billion-dollar slush fund that he says has not been spent. But that's our money, our taxpayers' money that we put into that Lou Jones and the Nasty Nine and the Dirty Dozen have put into a slush fund. And so if it's not going back to the people, then it's been appropriated. That's spent money.
I find that just so outrageous. My grandparents are from Conrad. My great-great-great-grandparents, or whatever it was, homesteaded the Sweetgrass Hills north of Conrad in the 1890s. And so I've spent a fair bit of time in Conrad, and I'm just sitting here. How do you have a rhino leftist like Lou Jones coming out of Conrad? Conrad's a pretty conservative town, as far as I know.
It is a very conservative town. But, you know, I mean, people listen to the message that they're putting out, and their message is, oh, we only grew government 2%. That's not true. I mean, you get the answer to the question that you ask. So if you ask the question knowing what the answer is going to be, you can ask the question to say, yeah, we only increased government 2%. But if you ask the whole question, and the whole question is, how much of the surplus did we spend? We spent it all. So if we have no money left and we might have to come into a special session to figure out how to move some more money around, that means we spent all the budget plus the $2 billion worth of surplus. That doesn't sound like a 2% growth. And, I think our total budget for the 2 years was $16 billion.
This is ridiculous to me that we're sitting here talking about is 2% growth or is it 18% growth? I want cuts.
I agree.
I want spending cuts. Where are the spending cuts?
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, 2% growth is better than 18% growth, but I want negative percent growth.
I agree, 100%.
Okay, Senator Barry Usher in the House. Bill from Bridger, we're going to come to you. We've also got messages from Sandy and Morgan to read out and get those responses. We'll be right back.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we had a fun. This is going to be kind of like a throwback Thursday for you. Back in the 2000 campaign, big elections that year, we ended up doing a big swing. We did like a little bar tour. We went out to the Grizzly Bar in Roscoe. We stopped at the New Atlas in Columbus and a couple other places along the way. Such a good trip. Hey, the New Atlas Bar, I don't know if you know this, but they hold the first liquor license ever issued in Montana. And the thing you notice is they have over 70 mounted animals, including a two-headed calf and an albino fawn. Anyway, that's a place to visit, that's for sure. But we're highlighting Montana's seven tourism regions and your chance to win an incredible Yellowstone Country tourism package. You get a chance to win a getaway at the Rock Creek Resort in Red Lodge or a winter stay at the Bee Bar Ranch in the Paradise Valley. Here's what you got to do. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway.
David Noble here filling in live for Aaron Flint. We still have Senator Barry Usher in the House taking phone calls and messages, 406-294-0970. Let's go ahead and go to Bill from Bridger. Bill, thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Yes. I ran into a problem with the propane company recently. We changed services a year ago, and in that year we went through over 1,000 gallons of propane, which doesn't sound disastrous, except we only have a stove gas stovetop, and an instant hot water heater. We don't have a furnace or anything else. And they came out to check to see if there was a leak and found in the regulator was sand, and in the pipeline from the propane tank to the regulator was sand. And they said, well, that's not our responsibility. The regulator is your responsibility. Well, that's part of the system, as far as I can see, from the tank to the outside of the house. And they went ahead and charged us over $150 to replace that regulator. When I think, the other thing that he found when he was checking that regulator was it was set at between 17 and 19, whatever that number means, and he said it should have been between 5 and 7. So he said, you're getting a lot of pressure going into your utilities in the house. Well, we only have a stovetop and a hot water heater, as I said. So we're not using much propane, and yet that propane regulator was causing us a big problem. And now, since we've changed it out, we're using almost no propane, and yet they said, well, that's not part of our problem. I think the state should be require these people, because that regulator is on the outside of the house, that the propane company should be responsible for that regulator being set properly and clean.
Well, if you want legislation passed to make propane companies responsible for the regulators, calling into this show when we've got a senator here in the House is not a bad way to propose it. Senator Usher, have you ever heard of that issue or that problem, or heard of any legislation to address that?
I have not heard of any legislation to address that. Although I know Bill, and good to hear from you this morning, he can definitely follow up with me later, and we can look and see if we can try and make adjustments to the law. Because, obviously we need to take care of the citizens of Montana, and if it looks like it's wrong, then we need to look at it.
We got a couple of messages here on the app. We got Sandy in Missoula says, isn't there some sort of tax relief for family cabins that have been in the family for 30 years, maybe legacy homes? I think I recall Senator Hertz talking about it, but I don't know more than that. Senator Usher, are you familiar with that one at all?
I'm not, but I could definitely follow up with Senator Hertz. I have a great relationship with him, and if he knows about something that I don't, I will say that there was a comment made that, hey, to get around that increase in your tax on a legacy home, just make sure that you put one in your wife's name and keep the other one in your name and list them as primary residents. So people passing the bill were like telling us how we could get around the bill.
That sounds fraudulent to say it's your primary residence if it's not, though.
I don't disagree, but it was funny that it was coming from the people that were trying to pass this bill.
And yeah. I sort of remember that issue coming up when the bill was in the legislature, and I'm sure Senator Hertz was in favor of something like that because it's ridiculous. It's like you're a Montanan and you've got your house and maybe you've got a family cabin. You're not some millionaire wealthy person. You're like kind of an average Montanan at that point. You're going to have your taxes go up, Matt. You might have your primary residence taxes go down, but your cabin taxes are going to go up and offset it.
Go up more than your primary residence, too. So more than twice as much, maybe three times as much.
Ridiculous. We got a message from Morgan in Helena. Morgan says, would Senator Usher be able to address HB 409 revising injunction laws, Fitzpatrick's bill, what it does, et cetera? Why did the traitors allow this to pass? I do know that there was some injunction changes, but my understanding was that basically was a good bill as far as I could remember. Do you know, Senator Usher, what the specifics on that were?
I'm trying to look it up now ever since we got that message, and I'm only able to do it on my phone, so it's hard to read the whole thing, but from my memory, it was a good bill trying to restrict what some judges were abusing. But if there's some unintended consequences to that bill, please get a hold of me directly. You can email me at barry.usher@legmt.gov and let me know what the issue with that is, and I'll try and look into it. more.
I mean, I'll tell you, our injunction laws were an absolute mystery, even to most lawyers, because the Montana Supreme Court opinions on injunctions was not a picture of clarity, and I sort of viewed that bill as more of just sort of clarifying what the actual law is, but I don't know the specifics off my head. I think Morgan and Helena also sent in a message saying, regarding property taxes, has the impact of taxpayer-funded nonprofits property tax exemptions ever been studied, and do other property owners pick up the slack of nonprofits?
Well, other property owners definitely pick up the slack, because if nonprofits are not paying property taxes, we've got to fill the gap somewhere, because our local and county city governments are not going to reduce costs. As David and I have talked about, we are 100% in reducing government and reducing spending, but they're not going to do it. So if they've got a certain cap that they need to run their cities and counties, they're going to get that money however they're going to get it. So we have talked about nonprofits. We talked about, you know, hospitals are considered nonprofits. But, you know, it's kind of like the third rail. I mean, you got the people that have principles. You know, like I said, the 23 senators, Republican senators, and then you have some in the House, some great House members that have principles. And we would love to make sure that there's parity. But we've got to get through these primary elections and get rid of some of these people that want to tax and spend.
What I'd like to see is let's start taxing the left-wing nonprofits, and the other, you know, moderate and right-wing nonprofits, they can still not get property tax.
But let's try that.
I don't think that sounds very constitutional, but I'd be in favor of it.
Well, and you would have people screaming louder, because, you know, that's the reality, is the people that scream the loudest are the ones that get what they want. And unfortunately, you know, on the right, Republicans are busy working and paying taxes, so those that don't work on the left can get free stuff.
Yeah, and so that they can go out and protest during the middle of a workday, like in L.A.,
or they get paid to go and protest.
More likely, that's exactly what it is. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling.
Real quickly, you think those people get a 1099, or do you think they're on the payroll when they go paid?
Oh, you know it's not reported.
I'd love to see the IRS dig into that. But speaking of, you guys mentioned the third rail, you know, sales tax earlier. I don't remember if it's in the last hour or this hour. And I've always been a proponent of dropping either our state income or our property taxes for a sales tax, because we get more visitors than we have residents in the state. And the idea that, oh, we're Montana, we don't do that. Well, hey, guess what? Just because you have been doing something for a long time doesn't mean it's still a good idea. I mean, doing the wrong thing because it's tradition is just idiotic to me. We would be able to, you know, raise revenues by increasing or establishing a sales tax and dropping one or the other. I mean, all these people who thought the tariffs were a great idea, basically it's a tariff for our state. And the people who want to argue, well, then nobody will come to Montana, good, stop moving here, we don't want you, it's full, I don't know what else to tell you. But anyways, I just think that a sales tax, if we can eliminate one of the other taxes, and I don't know why you couldn't write that into the legislation, but I just think it would be a great boost for our Montana economy. I'm a very simple person. I don't go out and buy a brand new, you know, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 pickup every 3 years. So it's not going to affect me. If you're not a big spender, it's not going to hurt you. If you're a person that has to have the latest and greatest of everything, you might pay a little more. But for people in Montana who want to live a modest and a humble lifestyle, a sales tax isn't going to hurt you the way that the scaremongers want to tell you it's going to hurt you.
Well said, Tim. Well said, Tim. We're up against the break. Tim, also one of the all-time great callers. Interesting, our most conservative people are wanting the sales tax to replace the property tax, but we got to do it the right way.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I do believe there has to be a new Israeli doctrine at the end of all of this, that anybody that fires a single rocket into Israel, their new policy will be to obliterate them immediately. They have shown too much concern. I don't think that can be their policy any longer. They have got to immediately respond. and respond overwhelming with devastating force, or this pattern will just continue to play out. But for those that didn't see the wisdom in taking out the number one state sponsor of terrorist nuclear facilities, the entire world, not just the region, would be at risk, including the United States, because their missile capability keeps getting stronger and stronger.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify to precious metals. Now, especially during certain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis, who choose to make my gold and silver purchases? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. Now, you're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD. Just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD. Or go to the website, HannityGold.com.
Fox Country.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. Legendary funny man Ray Stevens is recovering after having heart surgery earlier this week. The Country Music Hall of Famer suffered a minor heart attack on Friday and was hospitalized. Stevens, who is 86, is expected to make a full recovery. The Academy of Country Music will hold its 18th ACM Honors next month at the Pinnacle, Nashville's newest live music venue. The honors celebrate the country music industry with awards for songwriting as well as studio recording and other industry talents. Lainey Wilson will be honored for Artist Songwriter of the Year. Tickets go on sale Friday. And country singer Sam Hunt has welcomed a new baby girl with his wife, Hannah Lee Fowler. Last November, they revealed the pregnancy, but only recently announced that their new son was born back in May. That makes two boys and one girl for Hunt, who told Taste of Country that the family is good, but a little sleep-deprived. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, we just had a call from Tim in Billings talking about basically him being in favor of a sales tax here in the state instead of a property tax. Senator Usher, your response and concerns with it.
So one of my concerns is that, you know, we passed this, the Nasty Nine and the Dirty Dozen passed this great property tax relief, which is not. It's a property tax shift. And my concern is that people are going to get so mad about this property tax issue that we made worse. They're going to get so pissed off that they're going to say, we need a sales tax. And then they're going to do it in haste. And instead of getting rid of property tax or getting rid of income tax, we're going to add a sales tax, and then we will end up with all three taxes.
Yeah, of course, they'll try to sell that by saying, hey, if we add the sales tax, we're not going to get rid of your property taxes, but we're going to reduce them.
Right.
And exactly. Do we trust the government?
No. I mean, I'm in government because I don't like government. I think government needs to get out of the way and let people live their lives. And I think it's just crazy what we're doing. You said it several times. I've said it once or twice, too. We need government reduction. We need spending reduction. We have a spending issue. We do not have a taxing issue.
Well, honestly, Senator Usher, the thing that bugs me the most in watching the Helena and in watching D.C. is we're all out here in the heartland struggling to get by on a daily basis. You go to Walmart, there's a lot of people in Walmart buying their groceries in Walmart on a credit card that they can't afford to pay off, and they're stressed out and they're anxious every day. Every day of our lives, we're waking up with credit card debt and struggling to get by. And then you've got people up in Helena blowing and spending our money and living high on the hog and doing stuff like styrofoam bands. It's really grotesque.
It is grotesque. I mean, that styrofoam ban bill, I put an amendment and made a deal with a good senator and made a deal to extend it out for like 10 or 12 years. And that was the only way that any of us would vote for it. And then they changed it on the floor and changed it back to the 2 to 3 years or whatever ban. And I just think it's ludicrous that we want to get involved, and the government should not be involved in dictating what can and can't be used for your transportation or your food from a restaurant to your home or a restaurant to your work or wherever. It's just not the role of government.
Not when we're all out here struggling as bad as we are.
No, I mean, yeah, you want to increase costs? I mean, those restaurants are going to have to buy something that's more expensive and change, you know, because maybe they have, you know, a couple thousand styrofoam containers that they bought in bulk and they're going to use it for the next few years and they can't use it anymore because we passed a bill saying you can't use it anymore. I mean, there was no clause saying, oh, you know, you can use what you have in stock. I get it. It's not good for you. But as you and I talked about in the break, I mean, there's so many things that our FDA and that's what Robert F. Kennedy is going after is there's things that are legal in this country that other countries ban from the beginning, and they're bad for us. I get it. Let's get healthy. But I think the market is going to take care of the styrofoam issue over the... I mean, you can already see it when you go to restaurants. Some use it, some don't. And it used to be 100% of everybody used it. It's getting less and less every year, and we need to continue that and let the market take care of it.
Let's sneak on a phone call here before the end of the hour. We got about a minute left. Mike and Absorky, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to respond to Tim. The problem, I've seen that the tax trade down in Arizona back in the late 60s, and it's never a good thing. The senator is exactly right. We're going to mess around. People are going to go into panic, and we're going to end up with all three. Perfect example about getting the taxes and stuff. Steve Bullock got an 8% or an 8 cent a gallon tax, okay? And now the money is wasted. We're getting to watch useless ads on YouTube, listening to junk ads on the radio, billboards. This is what our tax dollars to advertise a dog.
We're up against the break. Thank you so much for the call. Senator Usher, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a good time.
We'll be back.
I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.